This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. Each one they go over with a fine-tooth comb. Thus, they get the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department, whether it's inspections or routine or difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. And it's always my pleasure to spend any time with Mike DeCourcy. Mike, how are you? Great to have you with us.
I am great, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Written some intriguing stuff, and I want to get into some of that. And we're going to start with Deion Sanders. He is somebody that has been around media his entire life. In fact, he's been a member of the media at one point, especially at NFL Network. Are you surprised with how he deals with, not criticism, but a critical question, let alone criticism?
I'm not surprised because he's faced very little criticism in his time.
True.
And it's especially when he was an athlete, he faced very little criticism. And when he did not react great then either. I'm not surprised that he's handling it in a difficult fashion, but I thought it would be more confrontational. Look, when I say confrontational, I'm not necessarily saying a negative connotation. I mean, I've been through those. You ask a question, the coach doesn't like it. There were two instances in my career. One of them was with Joe Paterno, and one of them was with Chuck Tanner. Of the Pittsburgh Pirates the year I covered baseball, and where I got reamed out pretty good. And I will be honest, although I felt like there were times when Joe was inordinately tough on me. The one time he really went off on me, it was a pretty crappy question that I asked after I can't remember whether it was I think it might have been an 85 season, and East Carolina gave them a hard time. And yeah. I said something like, were you surprised at how, you know, I don't remember the exact part of it. I remember the surprise part of it. Something like, were you surprised at how difficult East Carolina played you, or something like that? And it's a terrible question in retrospect. Yeah. I was young and didn't realize it was a terrible question, but it was. And I deserved to get yelled at for it. The one with Tanner, it was a fair question. And I approached it as diplomatically as one possibly could. But he saw what I was getting at, and he did not like the fact that I was questioning the effort of one of his players, whether or not I was correct. He did not like that, and he gave it to me. And like, I didn't have a problem with that at all. And so if Sean Keeler wrote something that Deion Sanders didn't like, and he wanted to give it to Sean for that, okay, that's, you know, we're all adults, we can handle it. Mm-hmm. We've been through it. But going and running behind your bosses and getting them to say that Sean Keeler can't ask any more football questions is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I remember that game with East Carolina. It was 17-10, I think, Penn State won the game.
Oh, there you go.
In 85, which was a surprise to everybody that was that close. But they had a bunch of games like that year. They ended up winning every game, but they were all like that, close. And as for Chuck Tanner, there's nothing wrong. What the subject has to realize is there's nothing wrong with asking the question. It's just up to you to give an answer. And, of course, he wants to defend his player. I got it. That's his clubhouse. He wants to defend the guy. But, you know, that's, I know when I talk to my broadcasting class all the time, I said, just ask questions. I said, you know, if somebody takes it personally, it's just a question.
Yes. And it's okay. It's okay to get yelled at. I mean, there is a legendary audio clip of Tommy Lasorda yelling at a baseball writer I can't remember whether he was a writer or broadcaster, but in the locker room setting in the manager's office, asking him about a day that Dave Kingman hit 3 home runs or 5 home runs in a doubleheader or something like that. And it's legendary because it is profane and hilarious, and you can find it on YouTube if you like. But no one who listens to that is offended as a reporter that he went off like he did. We don't get offended because coaches yell at us at all.
Right.
I mean, we may feel like our question was justified. Like I said, the Tanner question was a fair question. I asked him about a particular player going and how that player pursued a ball that had gone over his head.
Right.
I phrased it as diplomatically as I possibly could. Did you have any trouble with the way he played Backman's ball? And Chuck said, no, we always play Backman in. And I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And he caught the whiff of my questioning the effort.
Right.
And he went on me. And that was okay.
Right.
So I think Dion has to understand that if he has a problem with a particular reporter, Keeler or someone else, that you deal with it personally. And you could deal with it professionally in a closed office, or you can deal with it publicly by yelling at the person, if that's what you want. But you don't do it by hiding behind your bosses and making them be the people who enforce that particular made-up rule.
Have you ever had a coach call you and say, hey, Mike, can we just talk for a second? That didn't go well. Have you ever had that happen?
Well, I will tell you that I made a mistake in a piece years ago involving a particular Hall of Fame basketball coach.
Right.
And I assumed something had happened that had not happened. And I wrote about it in a column. And that coach, eventually, we happened to be next to each other at a Peach Jam basketball game. And he didn't ream me. But he said, basically, you know, you're better than that. And
yeah.
And I said, you know what? You're right. I won't do that again. And I have not done that again. It's been 15 years or so since I made that particular mistake of making an assumption. He was right. I was wrong. I've been in this business for 40-some years, and you're going to make mistakes. As long as they're honest mistakes and not mistakes out of convenience and not mistakes that are made because you have antipathy for that particular person, they can be corrected, either privately or publicly. Mistakes can be corrected. I'm not saying that Sean Keeler made mistakes in what he did.
That's right.
I did see
right.
some of those words. Some of the terms that Colorado found objectionable, or that he found objectionable and told Colorado to find objectionable, whichever would happen, I thought they were a little bit premature, given that the guy's been on the job for a year. But I also acknowledge that by the way he operated from the day he walked in the door at Colorado, he's the one who changed the math on rebuilding a football program.
Right.
By replacing as much of the initial roster, the 2023 Colorado roster, as he did, he changed the math. You want 4 years to rebuild, but you allowed or encouraged that many players to leave and replace that many players? I'm not sure that 4 years applies anymore when that's how it works.
Florida State, you wrote a column about them, you know, and they started out with back-to-back ACC games, lost both games. And because of what they've done off the field, I thought you made some interesting comparisons that in 9 months, they have become a target for the venom of other fans and programs across the country. Is that a fair characterization of how you've been seeing Florida State?
Oh, absolutely. They were They were another very good football program until they decided that because of decisions that they made, let's remember that, they decided to sign on to the ACC, to commit to the ACC, to agree to the grant of rights which binds them to the league for as much as the next dozen years, and at 20 years from the time they agreed to it. They made those decisions. Are you seriously telling me that no one at the institution could have known that the money was going to get a lot better at the SEC and Big Ten? They all could have known. Anyone could have known that. I would think you should have known that.
That's right.
If you're a professional in this area. And you decided that the stability of the ACC and the stability of the commitment from the ESPN and the launch of the ACC television network was more important than the possibility that other leagues could soon make more money than you, or they already made more money, but significantly more money than you, and that you would therefore have a tough time catching up because your contract is so much longer term. That's every decision that everybody makes in being employed, especially if you're in a contractual basis. Long-term security, short-term gain. Which is it? Mm-hmm. And they decided the security was more important, and they did it. And now they're blaming everybody else. That's offensive, honestly. And that's why so many people have turned against them and made them a target of anger and or humor based on their struggles.
Well, as I've tried to point out to people several times, Florida State's administration not only signed the grant of rights once, they signed it twice. fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And the problem I have with the ACC right now is for them, I'm talking about for them now, is that should the settlement eventually be approved by Claudia Wilken, and right now, of course, we know it's in limbo because of the collective part of it. Where are they going to find the money? I mean, at least the Big Ten has the TV contract. Penn State has a brand new big radio contract, like, for example, and they have attendance. I mean,
yes.
Okay, Pitt doesn't have a lot of attendance. Pitt, you know, I'm using them as an example because they're right in the backyard, right? Doesn't have the attendance, doesn't have the TV contract, doesn't have the radio contract. Where are they going to come up with $20 to $23 million to compete on an every year basis?
Well, remember, the 22 is kind of more a cap than it is a requirement.
Yeah, but Mike, I'm bringing up the 22 because that seems to be the top out number, which you know the top programs are going to get to and they're going to compete with. Can you compete against that?
Well, my point that I would make, and one of my colleagues in the business who works at another outlet made this point as well, and my immediate reaction was, like, Pitt's not recruiting against Alabama anyway.
Right.
They're not beating Alabama for a player. Right. They're not beating Ohio State unless it's somebody that like that grew up with Pitt in his blood. You're not beating Alabama. You're not going to beat Michigan. You're not going to beat Penn State very often, and certainly you'll beat them less often if that becomes an issue. But there's also the possibility that if you really want a player, let's say the next Tony Dorsett grows up in Hopewell, and you want him, you can commit as much of that to him as you want if you want to have the next Tony Dorsett on your team. And that's the decisions that you're going to have to make. So it'll be hard for them and Syracuse. But Syracuse is not out recruiting Texas ever.
Right.
It's just like I said, unless you Carmelo Anthony's kid becomes a football player, and then you have a shot. It's not a done deal, but you have a shot.
Right.
But you don't have any shot to beat Texas on a football player. It's just the reality. It's what can you make out of what you get? I mean, we're still only 4 years since Cincinnati got Sauce Gardner and Brian Cook and all the rest of those guys, Ford and all these NFL guys that are in the league now and went out and went undefeated and at least played competitively against Alabama in the playoffs.
Right. So you also wrote, I thought, a great column on Deshaun Watson, and I loved how you started it. The way you started it was to tell everybody that performance-wise, here are the numbers. And when you see 15 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, you are not playing well. So discuss the approach that you had to that to then take us through the Deshaun Watson story.
Yeah, the thing about the Deshaun Watson trade that still baffles me, that boggles my mind, is that Cleveland looked at a player who was in a bargain basement circumstance.
Yep.
He should have cost nothing.
Yep.
Because he had not played in more than a year. He was facing the likelihood of an extended suspension that eventually became 11 games. And that player should have been someone that had very little value on the trade market and very little value on the contract market. And they paid three first-round draft choices plus multiple later draft choices, as well as a $230 million guaranteed contract. I'm not sure if it was the very first contract, but I think it was. First NFL contract that was all guaranteed, at least in terms of long-term.
Right.
And so that's what really baffled me, Steve, is that they took that approach. And then their reward for that is dismal play. And if they had taken the chance on him as a player slash person for short money and a fifth round pick or whatever,
right?
I could have understood that. I wouldn't have approved of it, but I could have understood it. But to do what they did under the circumstances he was in is just it is staggeringly incompetent to me.
Yeah, I couldn't have said any better. I mean, you knew what you were getting, and you still did that? I mean, to me, desperate organizations make desperate moves. All right, that's just me.
The funny thing is people want to hang it on the owners, and they may have been really involved. But the funny thing is the Haslams also own the Columbus Crew in Major League Soccer.
And
it's like a model team. Like, everything with the Crew is perfect.
Yes.
Like they got a great, great group of guys, and they play hard, and they play beautiful soccer, and their fans love them. And then you have this. And so it makes you wonder, like, did they have too much influence in football and none in soccer? Or are they really doing the soccer and the football? I don't have any idea how they came to any of those decisions, but it is kind of it's like two sides of the same coin in the same ownership group. Really, really hard to understand.
Look, you cover everything nationally when it comes to college basketball, but still, what's it going to be like to cover an 18-school Big Ten?
You know, I'm really excited about it, Steve.
Me too.
I really am.
Me too.
Because I think that they're adding significant programs.
Yep.
And programs that are really fun. I don't know what Penn State's schedule is going to be, but if you get sent to Eugene or to Seattle, I've been to Heck Ed, the gym where Washington plays, probably a half dozen or so times. It's one of my favorite buildings in the country. If you get to go to SoCal, I love Pauley. I've not been to New Pauley, but I was in Old Pauley many times, and I love the Galen Center. It's really a great mid-size, maybe even small-size building, and creates a great atmosphere for hoops. So I think all the people who cover the teams, or maybe those who can pull off a winter road trip, I'll tell you, Steve, when it's 10 degrees here, now in suburban Pittsburgh, before in suburban Cincinnati and suburban Indianapolis, when it's 10 degrees and you're getting on a plane to go out and stand outside of Pauley on a 75-degree January day, you'd rather be there than just about anywhere in the world.
You want to know what my quote has been when I've gotten off the plane in Madison and it's been like 4 or 5 below? My quote has always been, you sure they couldn't have joined the ACC?
Well, now you'll get a break from that. Hopefully the Lions get a chance to head out there a couple of times. It's really fun to go out there, and they're bringing in interesting teams and interesting coaches and and presumably interesting players as well. I'm excited about it. I really
am.
Me too. And you know, I was thinking about this as preparing for today, and I put a tweet out on it. Pitt's women's volleyball team is right now number one in the country.
Yes,
they have a fabulous program. They've been in the Final Four 3 years in a row.
Yep.
They are now tonight. They will play Southern Cal at the Galen Center. USC at the Galen Center. Last week or the week before, they were at Oregon. Those are non-league games. Their women's volleyball team is going to the West Coast twice in the early part of the season to play non-league games. So what's so out of sorts about, I don't know, Rutgers having to go to Southern California for a soccer game or whatever it might be? I don't see, if we're going to do this for Olympic sports in non-league situations, why is it so bad to do it in a league situation?
Of course, I totally agree with that. I mean, look, we're not going by train. All right, so, okay, those days are over. But and Penn State, by the way, their combo this year is the two L.A. teams out there. So that part I do know. Mike, always, always, always a pleasure. I always, every time. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, it's been an honor, Steve. Thank you.
The great Mike DeCourcy, one of the best. And we will come back. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. We're not done. Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner, and now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.